Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. We talk about financial literacy a lot. We talk about financial well-being a lot. But often, so often, it is a conversation that is focused on what one can do as an individual. And there is tons of stuff going on in industry to try and address these intractable problems. But our next guest would argue that this is a shared responsibility, that financial well-being is something that industry has a role in and the individual has a role in. He is Patrick Enns, president of Capital One Canada. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. When you say shared responsibility for financial well-being, what do you mean?
Yeah. And I guess based on your TF, I'm optimistic that it's a tractable problem. Let me take a step back here first. I think a big part of what we're talking about in terms of shared responsibility is that customers or consumers have financial goals, and banks should have financial goals that are aligned, you know, with the customer themselves. And at Capital One, we're on a mission to change banking for good, and we're trying to help all Canadians be successful with credit. And we've seen from our own experience, with the right support and opportunity, tools and resources, that people can improve their credit over time, and that they can achieve their financial goals. So this notion that everyone has an opportunity and that financial goals can be achieved in partnership with a financial institution, I think there's a track record there that suggests this is possible.
What are some examples about what that can look like? And I ask because, let's call it a generation ago, before I had the role I had, you have the role that you have, back in the day, other leaders in this space would not have seen that shared responsibility, and they would have been out to drive volume in whatever way they could, because that's what pleased the P&L. What are some examples of where you believe we're taking some ground here?
Yeah, I mean, I think most financial institutions have started with financial literacy and education, which is a good thing. You know, yep. Transparency and education helps people make better decisions. But I think you might also agree it's not always enough. You know, the financial ecosystem is complex. So banks need to share in that responsibility of ensuring good outcomes. I think one of the places where we've seen the most movement in banking in Canada is in the investments and savings side. So if you just take that as an example, you know, with the advent of online trading platforms, robo-advisors, ETFs, the way that Canadians save and invest is dramatically different than a generation ago, or at least, I guess, Bruce, that's my understanding. And I think in many ways, that's all a good thing. But on the other hand, what you're seeing is that Canadians are now trying to figure out, well, do I need to invest in crypto or this latest meme stock? Or should I be shifting away from the traditional investment strategies that, you know, that I'm used to? And I think a financial institution can look at that and say, hey, you know, all the information is publicly available. We'll make it super easy and convenient for you to do whatever you'd like to do, but the decision's yours. Or ultimately, what I think you'll see and are seeing is that some that take a more active role in helping guide, you know, their customers to an outcome that best suits, you know, the needs of that particular individual and their financial situation. So that's really what I'm talking about when I talk about shared responsibility. It's really about providing that equal access to services, tools, and resources.
What are some of the inherent conflicts between good for the individual and good for the bank? And I'll give you a super simple example. A bank offering to increase a credit limit on a card for an individual who is already having a hard time paying off their balance in full or even making more than the minimum payment on a regular basis. That would be good for the bank because as provided they're not going into default, they're a pretty profitable customer at the rates that banks charge. But it's another way to look at it, it is enabling poor behavior on the part of the individual. So what would you say are some of the conflicts? And then in a sec, I'd like to talk about how we wrestle those to the ground. But what are some that seem obvious to you?
Yeah, I feel like you've I feel like you've highlighted a good one. Thematically, to me, it feels like often a time. It's a question of what's your time horizon, and are you optimizing for a short term or a long term horizon? Because I'd even say in the example you gave, if you look far enough out into the future, the banks and the consumers' interests are aligned. Ultimately, can someone pay back what they're going to be spending with? If you take a long enough perspective, the interests do become aligned. But where you take really short horizons, it can be challenging. If you're looking for other examples, I think interesting ones might be things that you see often in the housing market today, right? Where there's a balance there. How much of a mortgage should someone get to live in the home they want to have versus how much might they be able to afford over a 25-year horizon? That's a really long, you know, time horizon. It's not obvious how someone's financial situation is going to play out over that time horizon as well.
Yeah. I mean, I work with a lot of individuals and I see what they get, what the bank would say they can afford, but it's a pretty low sophistication to include the other goals that individual might have. Education for a kid, you know, health issues, an interest in one part of a couple to take time off after a kid. And when you factor those sorts of things in, the total affordability for a house is a whole lot lower.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely. I think your example makes perfect sense, Bruce.
What are some of the product and service gaps that you see as we talk about this future? Like if you and I were having a conversation about food, we might talk about food deserts in lower income neighborhoods. Like you literally cannot get a head of lettuce there. What is the financial equivalent in financial services, do you think?
I don't know if there is a perfect equivalent to lettuce, and I can't imagine living certainly in some of the territories that we have here in Canada where that is literally a challenge.
Yeah,
that's a painful thought there, Bruce. Mostly what I think I've seen in the Canadian marketplace, and it comes back to what Capital One exists to do. When we say help all Canadians succeed with credit, we're really pointing out that there's a gap in the market where many of the financial institutions aren't playing in the full spectrum of the Canadian population. And they see some consumers and say, hey, I don't think that over time you're going to be a good credit risk for us as a bank. Well, ultimately, there's a person at the end of that who's trying to achieve their own hopes and dreams, has their own financial goals, is trying to feed the family that they have, you know, at home. And that's where, you know, Capital One has stepped in and I think done a nice job. I do think there's risks that if those needs are not met for consumers, you can sometimes see them take a different path, which can be more expensive. You know, the example there might be some of the payday loan services that have been in existence here for some time.
What is the most exciting thing you see when you look out on the digital pipeline? So digital innovation is everywhere, super exciting. There's, you know, buy now, pay later is one big innovation. I don't know how excited I am about it. It's a bit problematic, but there are other things that incorporate behavioral science. And that from your vantage point, as you look at financial inclusion and some populations that have a harder time here, what's the role of digital?
Yeah, I think when you look out into the future, there's two big things on the horizon that I'm excited about. Open banking and real-time payment rails. And maybe just to pull those things together, when I say open banking, I'm talking about a shared set of standards and protocols for safely storing, securing, and transmitting a customer's data, and then ultimately empowering a consumer to decide who gets access to their data. And then I think when you combine that, you know, with real-time payment rails and the ability to move money instantly between financial institutions, I think that opens up a whole bunch of doors about what products and services you might see exist. And it really empowers consumers to say, listen, I can do business with anyone. Whoever's got the best products and services out there, I can do business with them. And there's going to be a system in place that's going to help me navigate the complexity that might come with that in like the world that we have today.
Say more about real-time payments.
Yeah, I mean, today it just takes time to get money between financial institutions. It often doesn't take time within a financial institution. This kind of, you know, walled garden set up where consumers are incentivized to stay with one financial institution. But in a world where the payments infrastructure in Canada is modernized and you can start moving money instantaneously between financial institutions, I don't necessarily need to worry as much about managing how much time it's going to take me to get money from bank account A to bill B or whatever that might be, which is a huge source of complexity and frustration for Canadians today.
If there was one final thought, maybe it is a hope, maybe it is a call to action for individuals or for industry on this topic of financial inclusion, which we clearly have a shared value around, what would be your last word?
Think long-term, think about your customer and think about, you know, an investment in that customer as a long-term investment. There's a lot that's going to happen over the course of someone's life. There's a lot of different needs they're going to have. Don't think about it as that one moment in time, and certainly don't think about that one financial service or product in isolation. As you pointed out so beautifully, Bruce, it's a much, much more complex situation for every individual.
Patrick, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Bruce.
Patrick Enns, President of Capital One Canada.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.